Okay. Any question? What's my question?
Why are we?
Why? That's major point. Everybody knows that I don't like repeating myself. And people who come to my classes will see that what I'm talking now in book three is not what I talk to you about book three. Because I don't have anything in here. I don't have the memory here. I know it all, yeah, okay. So many years I read it, and I know it by heart, but it's more than that. So, I repeat myself. For something to provoke this question, why do I do that? This is something that if you're picking up notes and stuff, here and there, this is something that you should write in gold and put it on the wall to remember always. Why do I ask that? This is a big book, right? And the language is poetic. So what could happen? Each part of this could be brought out and made something silly. Look at the extremists in any kind of this thinking. What do? They take the, for example, they take the Quran. They don't talk about those parts which is talking about peace. They look around. They bring out a piece which is talking about killing. And they enlarge it, and they talk about it, and you don't know what to say. This is the most important stuff to understand. In all texts, the knowledge we are talking about, which is beyond the logic, or the logical philosophy, or whatever. The first point is, when quote-unquote comes out, the first question is, where is it? Where is that? Because, okay, you bring me a piece of Shakespeare. You looked around and you found sometimes over there he brought an example of a stupid fellow who says this. And you bring that saying as a saying of Shakespeare to me. I want to know, where is that? Especially, that's in general. So in general, always you should know that, okay, where is this sentence coming from? What is before it? What is after it? Right? Especially the book we are reading. Why? First, because this fellow, before becoming this genius, we know that fellow which was dead. Yeah, you remember he said, I was dead, I became alive. Okay, that dead fellow was a perfect teacher. Not only in philosophy and logical stuff, 4 years he spent with the master of mysticism of Iran in now Syria. So he knows about this stuff and he knows what he's talking about. One of the best examples for you is a little bit difficult for you. For Iranians it's easier. Because there are words, there are a lot of words that in English translation are dots. They don't write it down, or they write it in Latin, or something like that. But in Persian, there are sometimes that he talks about the word, he uses the words that nobody uses. He will use it harshly. where in book 1, 2, 3 you could never find even one. I did the research. Book 4 is there, book 5 here, you will see, we will arrive to the subjects that he's talking about, the sexual activities with the words to say penis, like that. Because there, after so many years, he want to use the harsh language because he's talking about it before that. Listen, forget about the form. Look for the essence. Don't let the story fool you. I made up these stories to say something to you about you. This will become easier and easier because after so many years, the listeners, they know the language. They know that, okay, yes, now he's going deeper and deeper and deeper. That's why I always ask that. Because what we are talking here about, yes, it is about love. But here, we are not talking about the loving part of love. We are talking about the bewilderment. We are talking about what? This is the final chapter. Then it's the last book, which is not understandable at all. And it's so easy and it has nothing difficult in it. If you look at it, it's a very simple, silly story. That's it. Then we'll arrive and you will see how deep he goes with those simple stuff. How? With all the explanation that he had, he's building something. Do you remember, right from the beginning, we said, here is not about understanding and thinking and the brain and the science even. We're talking about knowledge, which is in the heart, which is somewhere, somehow. We don't know, because we cannot talk about it, okay? So, what is the real course for Rumi? And why he will go on 17 years doing this? Why? Because he knows understanding is questionable. What do you mean by understanding? What do you understand? And you could argue about it philosophically that, okay, yes, you understand that the fire will burn. How do you know that? Okay, experience or explain, all of that, right? But there is something else inside you. We talked about it, which is not a part of you. It's in you, and it's not a part of you. And honestly, it doesn't like you very much, because it knows all the weaknesses and shortcomings of you, and it's against it. Yeah, that's the one that when you do something bad to someone, deep down, you start to hurt. You did something wrong. Why did you do that? That self-consciousness is in here. Where is it? What is it? No one knows. That's the one that we said it should come out of you, because it shouldn't be inside of you. Then what happens inside of you? Emotion, feeling, that's what we are talking about. And how the emotion works. Nobody knows really, but we know that if you spend sometimes, let's say 3 times a month, you go to a class that they are talking about killing, what will happen to you? After a couple of years, it doesn't matter if you understand completely what they are talking about, or if you agree with it or not, some feeling towards that subject starts in you. First of all, because you talk about it, it's not very strange. It's not far. It's here. Yeah, I know about it, and you know, but you have a feeling about it, right? This is the same when you spend a regular time listening to the meaning of goodness. Some feeling in you starts to settle down, and Rumi knows that and tries to push it forward. First, very slowly, he talked about the shortcoming, and that was the book of love, so we talked about love and mainly what is not love. We didn't talk about your Pharaoh, did we? No, the Pharaoh was in book 3. The story of Pharaoh came in because your arrogance is a problem, right? Here, he has arrived to the final stage of explaining to go to the field which is not explainable. Simply, there are two words that your brain hates. Poverty, death, non-existence, right? And you say, ah, you don't know, that's the best part of it. We'll arrive. To go there, this is where we are. Bewildering. To understand that, yes, there are stuff that is not understandable. And I don't understand. Somehow I feel it. I know the violence is no good. Not from experience even. With thinking about it, talking about it seriously. Now you're listening to what I'm saying seriously. It's not like having a coffee and having a chat. That's what it is. Everybody sits, Maulana stands up, turns around the pillar, talks and chants and all of that to make the environment somehow different. That's what it is all about. So that's why I always ask, where are we? We are at the beginning of the bewilderment. And at the beginning of that he said, you know what? You want to understand bewilderment? Bewilderment is beyond the understanding. So you should put aside understanding, then we talk about it. Because when you bring understanding with bewilderment, the outcome is confusion. Okay, do you understand it? Or are you bewildered? Bewilderment is not being stupid and not understand it. It's to know that it's difficult to understand. It's deeper than I get. It could go deeper. That's the real meaning of bewilderment. So, for that, you should put aside the thinking of you. Why? Because there are 4 thoughts in you which are the source of all your animal activities. There are 4 stuff which is in you, and it's in Impala, and it's in the stupid donkey, and a word. What is it? First, wanting no matter what, greed.